How many of you heard about this popular comedian many, many years ago, Flip Wilson? Anybody? Yes, remember? So Flip Wilson, he was very popular, and one of his characters, he did some Christian comedy, and the point of Christian comedy is to point out some problems of the church, but in a humorous way, all right? And so he did this skit, and his character was the preacher at the What's Happening Now church. That's what he called it. And in this skit, he would ask, he talked about this preacher, and he would yell to the congregation, you know, his audience would be the congregation, and he would yell, "If this church is going to serve God, it's got to get down on its knees and crawl." And the congregation, the audience would prompt and respond, and they say, "Make it crawl, preacher, make it crawl." You know, it's the South, and they like that type of responsive preaching, you know, from the congregation. And then he would yell again, "And once this church has learned to crawl, it's got to get up on its feet and walk." And the congregation would respond, they would say, "Make it walk, preacher, make it walk." And then he would say, "And once this church has learned to walk, it's got to begin to learn how to run." And they would yell, "Make it run, preacher, make it run." And then the punchline, he would say, "And in order to run, this church got to reach deep down into its pockets and learn how to give." And there would be a pause and a silence. And the people would say, "Oh, preacher, just make it crawl, make it crawl." You know, this humorous illustration accurately describes the spiritual experience of many Christians. When it comes to commitment, it seems that many Christians just want to crawl instead of running. You know, giving, and I'm not going to talk today about giving, financial giving. That's one aspect of our church experience. I'm going to talk about giving in general as a principle. Giving is a matter of commitment, isn't it? It's a commitment. John 3:16 says what? "For God so loved the world that He gave." He gave His only Son. You know, God was so committed to your salvation that He gave His only Son to die for you. That's commitment. Giving takes commitment. And the question is, how committed are you to God today? How much are you willing to give to honor that commitment? Sometimes you might make a commitment, but if it's expected from you to give up something in your life, you'd be like, I can't do it. Are you willing to give up things in your life to honor that commitment to God? Now, these three stages in this illustration, the crawling and walking and running, as I was reading this illustration, I was thinking, you know what? This accurately represents the three stages in our spiritual growth. So let's start with the first stage, crawling. Most of you have babies, all right? And when we come to Jesus Christ, we first encounter Jesus. We are like little babies, aren't we? We're like little babies. We're infants. We are crawling because we cannot walk yet. We are not yet very firm on our own feet, and so we are very shaky, and we need a lot of support. But in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, if you open that with me, Apostle Paul, in verses 11 to 14, uses a little bit different metaphor for spiritual growth. And he talks about little babies there as well, but the metaphor is about the food. Remember what Apostle Paul says there, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 to 14. We are not going to read that passage, but I want you to follow this with me. He talks in there that it talks about maturing in terms of moving from eating just milk, moving on to eating what? Solid foods. So, and he says that there are many Christians that are like babies. They get stuck on this stage of eating just milk. and never move on to maturity. They never move on to eat solid foods. So it's talking about growing and developing and moving on. Unfortunately, there are so many Christians that don't grow up in their spiritual experience. You know, if you saw a crawling baby today here in the church, that would be normal, right? But if you saw me crawling on the floor today, you would have some questions, right? If I'm okay. And rightfully so. And more than that, if you saw me crawling and holding a bottle of milk, that would be even worse. But imagine that this is how many Christians are. We are never developing, never growing, never maturing. We're just crawling on the floor with a bottle of milk. And we never start eating the solid food, the spiritual solid food. Now, the passage here in Hebrews tells us that many people remain in this stage and never move on. This is not the way it should be in our spiritual experience. We need to start eating some solid food. And if you look at verse 14 in Hebrews chapter 5, it says that we have to train to what? To distinguish good from evil. Only by constant use of solid foods, we train ourselves to do this. If you don't spiritually mature, you will not be able to distinguish between good and evil. Kids don't have that ability. They're not there yet to distinguish, you know, little babies. They don't have the ability to distinguish what's good and what's bad. That's why you as a parent have to be there and say, no, no. If they want to put their finger into the socket, you know, into the plug, you say no, because they're not able to distinguish what's good and bad. And many Christians are at the same stage. And Apostle Paul says, only by maturing and start eating the solid spiritual food, you'll be able to distinguish between good and evil. So think about it. The first stage of crawling. Have you moved on? Have you moved up to the next stage? I want you to think about this. Believe me, I know many Christians that are still at that stage. If you're there, make sure you're moving up. So let's go to the second stage, walking. When babies start walking, that's a fun time in the life of parents. I had two boys, and now they're bigger. But when they start walking, it's fun. But it's also a lot of responsibility for the parents, right? Because now they can reach everything, they can touch everything, they can, you know, turn things upside down. And it's fun, but at the same time, much more work for the parents. You know, when they start walking, they start getting up and standing on their own feet. They still need someone's help, a parent's help there, but they're becoming more independent. They're becoming more independent, all right? As we grow in our spiritual life, we move from infants to being spiritual toddlers, so to speak. We make this first big steps towards Christ, and we learn how to walk with Him. This is such an important stage. You know what they say, you need to learn to walk before you run, right? That's a very important stage. And you know what that stage in our spiritual experience? In our spiritual lives, this is the time of training for us in order to be ready to run the race with endurance. That's what it is, the walking stage. We train for the race. Our daily walking with Jesus, which is our training, prepare us for running. You know, Paul says we need to train very, very well for this race, to run it with endurance. Our success in the race depends on our training, doesn't it? How well you train. So we must constantly train like the athletes do. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 to 27, you can open that with me as well and follow with me there. Apostle Paul talks about this strict training process. And he uses an interesting word there. And so 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27, and he's talking in this passage about training, and he uses the word, I discipline myself. You know, it's a disciplining process. You have to become disciplined. Have you seen athletes training for, you know, games or something, you know, to achieve a goal in their life? They dedicate their entire life. They change their whole life just to achieve that purpose, right? Just to win, something, a medal or something. They change their eating habits, sleeping habits, their whole life. They are changing everything in order to obtain those results. They devote their entire life to this pursuit. Now, how much are we willing to change in our life to be with Christ? How much are we willing to change? How much are we willing to give up? Ellen White says this in Pacific Union Record of February 20, 1908. She says, "We are certainly living in the closing days of this earth's history." Everybody agrees with that, right? We are. "We need," she says, "to devote much time to our spiritual interests." Just a little time? Much time to our spiritual interests. If we would experience the spiritual growth that is essential in this age. We all want to grow spiritually, but we don't want to give up anything. We don't want to put too much effort and time into our spiritual interests. "We are to make decided reforms." She finishes this quote with this phrase. "We are to make decided reforms." And unfortunately, as I say, many Christians are not, they don't devote much time to spiritual interests, and they certainly don't want to make any changes in their lives in order to grow spiritually. I heard a lot of Christians saying, you know, "I don't need to change. God has to accept me the way I am." You probably heard people saying that. It's true, God accepts you the way you are, but He never sends you away the way you came to Him, right? He never sends you away the same way you came to Him. He told that woman who was caught in adultery, "Go and what? Sin no more." In other words, go change your life. So this is an important process, the walking with Christ every day. It's the preparation process so that we can achieve and come to the next step. And the next step is the running. Here we come to this third step of spiritual growth. And you know what? When you look at the second and third step, they're actually intertwined with each other. They go hand in hand. Walking is the training process. So training and the actual running, they go hand in hand. You can't do the running without walking, and you can, and sometimes you want to walk with Christ, and sometimes you feel like you're running with Him. You know, you're on a spiritual high in your spiritual experience. And so once you learn to walk, you still know how to crawl, but just don't want to go back to crawling. But when you learn how to run, it's a little bit different. Sometimes you want to walk with Christ, and sometimes you just want to walk with Him. And so these two stages I explained very well in our scripture reading. So I want you to go back to Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. And we're going to read this whole passage here so you understand what I'm talking about. All right, Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. And we're talking about the stages of development, spiritual growth. So this is what Paul says. "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is a master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." Verse 6. "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer what? A slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." This is a very interesting passage in Galatians chapter 4. So, we have very interesting terminology here that we need to look at. We have a few terms we need to define. So we have a child, we have son, we have slave, and we have an heir. There's four different things here that Paul uses. So they're very important in order to understand this passage. But The only one that we need to actually define is the world, is the word, the term child in this passage. If you understand who is the child here in this passage, then you understand the rest of the passage. Now, there is a very interesting Bible study that I looked at with who are the children in the Bible, but I'm going to mention just a few things to you so we can go quickly through this, all right? So let's do a quick Bible study on the word child. Who is a child in the Bible? Who are the children here? First verse we're going to go to is Matthew 18, verse 3. So just go with me quickly in your Bibles, Matthew 18, verse 3. So this is Jesus talking, and he says this, unless you are converted and become as what? Little children, you'll by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. You remember that passage, right? What is Jesus talking about here? Is the child a positive notion here or a negative one? It's positive, right? He's saying, if you don't become like a child, you'll never enter into the kingdom of heaven. Let's go to John chapter 1, verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12. So, here we have John is telling us, and he says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become what? Children of God, to those who believe in his name. So we become children by believing in Jesus and by growing in our faith. Now, the usage of the term child in these two verses here is positive, as I said. And the purpose here is to show that we must have what? Childlike characteristics in order to enter kingdom of heaven, right? That's the purpose here. Now, and this is one approach in the Bible that you find with the word child, but there is a different approach. Up to this point, as I said, this is a positive usage of the word child, but there is a negative usage of the word child in the Bible, all right? And let's look, and Apostle Paul is the only one that uses the term child with a more negative spin on it, okay? He has quite a few passages on that. So the first one is 1 Corinthians 13, 11. So 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. So this is what Paul, Apostle Paul, says here. He says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away what? Childish things. So here, what is he talking about? He says, you need to mature, you need to grow, right? He says, when you're a child, you behave like a child. You have all these childish things. You're immature. That's what Paul is saying here. You're an immature Christian. Now you need to put those things away. In other words, he's saying, just grow up. It's time for you to grow up. It's enough for you to be on this basic level. David Breese says, strong sons of God are not perfected by childish pursuits. Childish pursuits, that's what Paul is talking about here. Another passage, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20, just one chapter over. This is what Paul is saying. He expresses a similar thought in this passage, and he says, brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be what? Mature. This is again talking about maturity. It's time to grow in your faith and in your understanding of God. So when Paul uses the term child in this more negative way, so to speak, he's trying to emphasize the importance of spiritual growth. And that is the way he uses the term child in Galatians chapter 4 that we just read. So let's go back to Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. In verse 1, Paul says that a child is like what? Is like a slave. That's a harsh thing to say, isn't it? A child is like a slave because he cannot be an heir until he matures and becomes a son. And verse 3 says that being a child means to be in slavery or in bondage under the elements of the world, or some translations say under these basic principles. Now think about it. A child is a slave to these basic elements of the world. And this Greek word, basic principles or basic elements, means things placed side by side in a row. Does it remind you something? It's our, in our language, would be the ABCs. All right? So this is the basic principles, just the ABCs. And the Paul is telling these Christians, you are still at the basic elements of Christianity, and you never mature. You never grow. You're like kids. You're still only accepting these basic things. To the Jews were in slavery to the ABCs of the ceremonial law and the legalism. And today, we're in slavery to some other things. We're in slavery to legalism as well. Some of us, we fall into that extreme. And most often, we're in slavery to the things of this world. Many people just have either a very superficial religion or a very legalistic religion. And either of those are bad. Both of them will keep us from maturing in our spiritual lives and growing. So what are some things in our lives that keep us in bondage and don't allow us to mature? Ephesians 4, verse 13, Paul says, we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of man in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Very strong words, aren't they? We shouldn't be children anymore. The same usage as in Galatians 4 and 1 Corinthians 13 and 14. Paul says we need to grow. When you start walking as a little baby, every little wind can knock you down, right? I used to do that to my kids when they start walking. I just, you know, try to blow on them and see if they fall down. And sometimes they would be like unbalanced because they're still learning how to walk. And this is the same with these Christians that are learning how to walk, but they're being tossed to and fro by the winds, by these winds. And these are all the false doctrines and teachings. And they cannot stand strong on their feet, and everything knocks them down and prevents them from growing in their spiritual experience. We must not allow that to deter us from walking. We must get back up and continue learning how to become steady on our own feet. Don't allow Satan to knock you down. Make sure you continue walking. Now, if you look at verse 4 and 5 in Galatians chapter 4, it shows us the transition from a child to a son. So a child is a slave because we are still enslaved to these basic principles. We don't grow. We still stay at that level. But in verse 4 and 5, we see the transition between a child and a son. And verse 4 and 5 says this, and I'm paraphrasing here. It says, when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son to what? Redeem us. And then verse 5 says, "And that we might receive the adoption as sons." So here's the point. In order to understand it, we need to go a little bit back to Galatians 3, verse 26, right there. Galatians 3, 26. Galatians 3, 26 says this, "For you are all what? Sons of God, through faith in Christ Jesus." How do you become a son of God? Through faith in Christ Jesus. So it means when you're still a child and you're stuck in bondage to those basic principles, it means you don't have enough faith. That's why you're not growing. Through faith in Jesus Christ, the strong faith that you have in Jesus Christ, you become the sons and daughters. And that's when you accept Jesus Christ and you start growing in your experience with Him. You know, even though Christ redeemed us and offered us to become His sons and daughters through adoption, He cannot force that on us. Have you ever seen somebody being forced into adoption? You can't force anyone to, you know. But what Christ is doing here, He says, I died for you, I redeemed you, and that's available to you. I want to adopt you as my sons and daughters, but you need to accept that. And by faith in Jesus Christ, you accept that and you grow in your experience. And you move from being a child or a slave to being a son of God. And at this point, when you do that, your adoption process, so to speak, is complete. You are now a legal son and daughter of Christ. You have completed the adoption process. But there is one more step in this process, becoming a son and daughter of Jesus, and that's Galatians 3, verse 26 and 27. So we read verse 26, but this is what verse 27 says, "For as many of you as were what? Baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. So accepting Christ by faith and growing in your faith and having faith in Christ is one step in this process of becoming sons and daughters. What is the next step? Is the baptism. Is baptism. Believing in Jesus Christ is important, but it leads to the next step, the step of baptism. You remember what happened to Jesus when he was baptized? Matthew 3:17 says this, that when Jesus came out of the water, a voice came from heaven and said what? This is my what? Son. This is my son, in whom I'm well pleased. At his baptism, so the Father announced the sonship. This is my son. This is what happens at baptism. I know some of you are still there deciding whether to get baptized or not. And today we witnessed three precious souls getting baptized. Amen? We witnessed that and we saw. So at baptism, this is how I see baptism. Baptism is a confirmation that we are the sons and daughters of Christ. It's this public declaration or confirmation of our faith in Jesus Christ. And at that point, our adoption process as sons and daughters is complete. This is my son. This is my daughter. So if there are some of you there still thinking, this is an important step in your life that you need to take in becoming sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. So now the question is, we're moving from a child or slash slave to a son, but then the third one is what? In Galatians 4, an heir. So from a child to an heir, how do we get there? How do we become heirs of God? Well, Paul says that in Galatians 3, verse 29. And if you are Christ, then you are what? Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Only when we belong to Jesus, that's when we become heirs according to the promise. We become sons of God by believing and getting baptized, but we become heirs by belonging to Christ. And these are two different things. I know a lot of people that got baptized, but they never belonged to Christ. To belong means that you give yourself completely to Jesus Christ. Jesus becomes the Lord of your life, and if you belong to Christ, you cannot belong to the world anymore. Because the Bible says no one can serve what? Two masters. You can't have the Lord Jesus and have the Lord, the world. You can't do that. When you become an heir, that's when you completely commit your life to Christ. You belong to Christ completely. So who do you belong to? Who is your master? Who is your Lord? If you want to fully belong to Christ, you must fully commit to Him. You must give Him all that you have. When we let go of everything we have, Galatians chapter 4 says that we are no longer slaves, and we are no longer children, but we are sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. And if we are sons and daughters, then through Christ we become heirs of God, from a child to an heir. So let me conclude with this. Dr. Larry Peaton, he says that there are four levels of spiritual maturity for every believer. I want you to remember these ones. Maybe you can write them down. They're very, very interesting. Four different stages of spiritual maturity for different levels. First one, he calls it rebellion. And he says, a person that is in this stage says this, I'm going to do what I want regardless of what God says. That's the first stage. That's rebellion. Just see if you can find yourself in one of these stages. The second level is conditional love. It says, people that are in this stage, they say this, if God gives me what I want, I will give Him what He wants. Conditional love. A lot of our members and Christians are at this level. A lot of people are on this level. Conditional. Number three, growing faith. And the people that are on this level, they say, I will give God what He wants with faith that He will give me what I need. That sounds a little bit better, doesn't it? And the fourth level is this, selfless worship. I will give God what He wants regardless of any thought of, for myself, because He is the Lord and worthy of my praise. And that's the level we want to be. That's the level we want to be. Review and Herald, November 23, 1905, Ellen White says in paragraph 6, our lives should show steady spiritual growth. But I have seen that which makes me tremble, she says. Men and women, dwarfed in character, possessing the word of God, which tells them what they must do in order to be saved, yet unsanctified and unholy. They do not enjoy the strength provided for every Christian because they refuse to be Christ-like. She says, our lives should show steady spiritual growth. If we are still crawling in our spiritual experiences, then I'm telling you today, it's time for you to get up and start walking. And if you are still learning how to walk, then you need to start moving to next level. You need to learn how to run. We must always grow and mature. We must move from being children to become heirs of God. May God bless you. Amen.